friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. And, you know, many times I refer to guests on the program as friends. And so I'll have to distinguish and say a close friend of mine is in studio today. And I'm delighted to welcome the Government of Ireland Minister of State for Small Business, Department of Jobs, Enterprise and Innovation, representing Sligo and North Leitrim constituency, and somebody who was first elected to Dáil Éireann in 1997, Achara, John Perry. Friend, you're very welcome.
Brilliant. Great to be here again, great to be back in New York, and great to see yourself looking so well indeed, I say, and get the opportunity to come in here to a studio. It's very good.
Yeah, you know, we could start off, we have a bone to pick with you, because you have been in and out of New York many, many times. But unlike some other visiting politicians from Ireland, who you have always a very, very heavy schedule, and of course this trip is no different either for this St. Patrick's season.
Very important to be here, because when you look at the whole Irish diaspora and the whole connection with the US, and especially here in New York, it's critically important from being in government. I suppose the role of government in the last 2 years has been very challenging, but equally we're dependent so much on the gathering. It's very important that we meet so many people, and to spread
the good news. But I would like to again point out that one would have to say that your portfolio in terms of taking on the Department of Jobs and Enterprise, Innovation, the small business in Ireland, has to be indeed very closely measured in the overall success of the current state of the economy. And in fact, it was time we wound up with some good news, but in no small way is that a reflection on what makes Ireland tick economically, your area.
Well, obviously, being appointed by the Taoiseach, I suppose, the leadership of the Taoiseach, and working, you know, it's been in government for 2 years now, just the anniversary of the second year in government. I think I suppose, getting into government where there was 250,000 jobs lost for the 3 years prior to that, the real challenge is getting Ireland back working again, getting the economy stabilised, and obviously working with Minister Bruton and the Department of Jobs, and clearly the recognition of the role of small business, which would be 200,000 companies, approximately 700,000 people working, it will be the backbone of the economy. And that's very important to be, I suppose, given a sense of stimulus in that critical area.
Yeah, and stimulus, and indeed the government taking over with nothing in the kitty is a super challenge. Let me ask you about now, you're talking about 200,000 small business. What's the profile of a small business?
A small company, with the definition of small, is a small micro and start-up companies, but small is a company that employs less than 50 persons, so that it's, I suppose, from an American scale, it will be maybe quite different, but from a European perspective, I suppose that's the real challenge for Ireland. Mm. There's 23 million small SMEs across Europe, and the fact that clearly, while we have IDEA-backed companies, and we're very fortunate, the extraordinary work here by the IDEA attracting foreign direct investment.
That's the Industrial Development Authority,
And then you have the Enterprise Ireland dealing with the Indigenous Irish companies exporting. But the reason,
but both are doing
very well.
Very well.
And I think that's where the challenge really, I suppose the last 3 years, with the figures have been exceptionally high from the point of view of exports from Ireland, up to 193 billion exported from Ireland. The whole growth of, I suppose, the 12,000 net jobs were which is fantastic. 12,000 net jobs were created in the economy in 2012, first time ever for the past 8 years. So that it clearly, from the point of job losses, while there's still a huge number of people unemployed, it's the curve from the point of view of the IDEA-backed companies and Enterprise Ireland-based companies, 12,000 net jobs in the private sector. But the, I suppose the challenge would be is confidence and credit in the domestic economy, and that's where we find the difficulty will be getting the obviously the confidence where people have been in the last 2 years, you know, with the whole difficulty in the economy, the dealing with the financial debacle that we
right.
inherited from the last administration. It was very difficult to, a lot of hardship. People have suffered enormously from the point of view of the taxation measures, the budgets. All those cutbacks have been extremely painful for, I suppose, householders who are educating or their mm-hmm. children or working or and job security. And people are maybe reluctant to, they're quite reluctant to spend money in the domestic economy. That's
mm-hmm.
where we're working on that at the moment.
Mm. Plenty of reluctance here, too.
Yes.
We, as we know, this is a world recession. Ireland took a pretty bad battering from that. And we are constantly bombarded with what in our neighboring counties of Mayo and Sligo would be known as the drach ochel, the bad news, the constant threat and rolling out you know, the a lot of the pain which is real for people of Ireland, the reality that indeed massive numbers of young people in particular are forced to immigrate. There's a lot of bad news, but if you will, first of all, on the 200,000 plus small businesses you're talking about, what is the distribution in terms of area? Where are most of these companies located?
Well, since I've been appointed, I've toured the country extensively, and so the range of the companies, you have life science companies, pharmaceutical companies, the whole, if you take the agriculture, the Borbia sponsor companies, which currently
there's
up to 9 billion being exported alone in the food sector alone, but in the high tech companies, but really, while the very encouraging aspect that we find at the moment is that you have extraordinary people coming out of third level universities
right.
and colleges who are very much, when it comes to the life sciences, the pharmaceutical, the ICT sector, the IT sector, they're all very motivated and they're achieving
mm-hmm.
extraordinary business across Europe and beyond. And but in many
right.
segments of the economy where, I suppose, if you take the, you know, if you take the whole spectrum of the economy, yeah, but the biggest challenge in Ireland in the recent times was the area of most difficulty would be the retail sector, but that
right.
would be quite separate to the small manufacturing companies, and where the cost base of employing people has dropped, we've become far more competitive because it was what we inherited prior to the 2 years was that the cost competitiveness of the economy had we were unable to attract.
Mm-hmm.
Keep our costs low, but the cost base within Ireland has very much dramatically dropped, and the fact that we're working very much, the Minister Noonan and the Taoiseach with they're bringing a lot of venture capital funds that recapitalise the banks to invest in business, and we're
right.
ensuring that the two pillar banks are obliged to invest 8 billion in small business this year in the economy of Ireland. So it's very important that for the whole, for the success of the Taoiseach getting the deal and the promissory note, which is very much an extraordinary deal, I think, for Ireland getting the...
Explain that one to us.
You know, that's the deferment of the, you know, the 30 billion.
Right.
Which I think is very important that that would have meant the government would be obliged to pay 3 billion this March, but that has now been deferred until 2038. So it's been an extraordinary success getting that deferment. It will mean the demand on the economy from the day-to-day operation of the economy, that it will mean that we won't have the excess demand of paying that repayment every year, which was a huge impact
yeah.
on the budget that would have to follow.
Yeah, and it's being stretched over a considerable period of time, which again takes the immediate pressure off. God
right.
knows those in Ireland who are feeling the pain of the economic downturn will welcome that in the sense that it does look not only that things are going to get better, but actually, where's the wood? I'll touch it here. That actually there is the turning point is here.
Well, let's see. lot of work. You have a certain achievement, but a long way yet to go, because
right.
So the fact that we are currently spending $1 billion per month more than the state has taken in,
mm-hmm.
That's the day-to-day, apart right. from the indebtedness of the state.
You must be taking a page from our book over here.
Yeah. And we are spending, so the real challenge of government is to bridge that deficit, and where by 2015 we're hoping to have 3% GDP, 3% of mm-hmm. the difference. We're currently at the moment, it's up at 9 or 10%. But clearly on the issue of the success of the government in getting agreement in Europe on the long-term indebtedness of the state,
yes.
I think, to be honest, it's very much a deferment up to 2038 at 1% of an interest charge, a dramatic reduction. The government.
Amazing, it's a great stroke, but it also wouldn't have happened, and not taking anything away from your Fine Gael party, or indeed the Taoiseach, the Prime Minister of Ireland, and Kenny, who happens to hail from Castlebar in County Mayo. The being able to enter a financial deal, something else like that, wouldn't have happened because of any backslapping or whatever. This, as Ireland has proved over the last 2 years with the new government, that in fact it is on stable footing, and in fact, particularly since the Celtic Tiger days, and when there was a lot of lunacy with respect to credit and the availability of med money, that in fact something major must have happened in the last 2 years to establish a line of credit that many other countries in similar difficulty must envy.
Well, I think that's
you're raising the bar.
What I think now is that it was really, we went from, the economy was based on during the Celtic Tiger era, it was built on the construction economy, which was very much mm-hmm. a false economy. So the transition from a construction-based income economy to an enterprise economy was the challenge of government was to invest in people, to invest in ideas, the commercialization of knowledge, which is very effectively going on through, we're investing in businesses. I was at the Mansion House this week, and that the high potential startup companies, that companies are from all over Ireland exhibiting stands from their capabilities, and emerging companies being supported by government, and they were indicating that in the next 3 years that cohort of companies in the Mansion House would create 1,600 jobs by the number of approximately 50 companies were there in the Mansion House. But the opportunity, I suppose, of investing in generating revenue from growth in the economy of jobs. The fact that we have 1.8 million people still working in Ireland, I think while the immigration can be by choice or by design, whichever mm-hmm. the case, a lot of immigration can be by choice because people are immensely qualified, and if they want to come to the US or go to Australia or Canada, that's not always the case, but it can mm-hmm. be by choice. But currently there's 1.8 million people working, and by 2016, the ambition of government is that we'd have an additional 100,000 people on top of that figure.
Yeah.
As the Taoiseach has said repeatedly, by 2016, that Ireland will be one of the best economies in the world in which to establish a small business, to which to rear your children, and in which to grow old. And that's the ambition of this government, that by the mandate of the people, that we have until 2016 to deliver the mandate of, I suppose, just the turnaround in the economy of, I suppose, bringing it very much from the cliff, and which is very good news, that we will be exiting the IMF fund this year, and that would be the sovereignty of the state will be given back to the government elected by the people.
No stranger indeed to America, but in particularly in New York, the New York connection goes back indeed to 2006, a very memorable occasion, indeed in August of 2006, you were able to attract the mayor of the city of New York for the unveiling of a memorial to the Fighting 69th Regiment in your hometown of Ballymote in County Sligo. And that was to commemorate a Sligo native, Michael Corcoran, who indeed led a regiment. Maybe you can fill us in just a little bit on the...
Obviously, we haven't seen, watched the movie Lincoln. I think it's a great Civil War movie. I must say that it's very much the critical role of Ireland that had played in the, I suppose, on both sides, the Union and the Federal side. But the occasion was the Brigadier General of the 69th Fighting Irish Regiment was Sligo-born native, Brigadier Michael Corcoran. He was born actually 7 miles outside of Ballymote. But I suppose the whole branding of the 69th Fighting Irish Regiment, I'm hoping to visit them on Lexington Avenue before I leave. There's a very strong connection. I must say it has been very beneficial because every week there's always the Civil War history. The Civil War in America is the greatest event. This is the most traumatic event that ever happened in the U.S. I suppose, and it has such a history, and obviously with being the 150th anniversary as recorded in this period as we speak, it's very important that the whole connection of the 69th Irish Regiment and New York, and suppose the role and the critical role it played in the Civil War is very important too. That was recognised in Ireland, but only this week actually I had a great occasion. There was a great grandson of Thomas Francis Maher. He'd be from Waterford, as you know. He was from Montana. You know that his great grandson was in the All-Ireland this week. And as we speak in June of this year, he visited the All-Ireland and he presented the sword, the Thomas Francis Maher, the sword of the Civil War. He brought into Leinster House and was photographed with the in Leinster House, but he's donating that to a museum in Waterford. But the connection there,
really,
of course, But yeah, I must say and it apparent this week that they're raising the flag in Waterford, which is the 165th anniversary of the tricolour, which came from the original tricolour, which came from the U.S. and the French connection.
Wow.
That's been raised in Waterford this weekend.
As I said, we had Mayor Bloomberg in Ballymorton and Sligo for that dedication. But also, of course, you've received too many awards on both sides of the Atlantic for us to list here. One in particular, though, the Queen's County St. Patrick's Day Committee honored you as Gael of the Year in 2008, and indeed that was for good reason, for developing the close links between New York and Ireland. Little did we think then that Rockaway would be again featured on the world map for the devastation of Hurricane Sandy.
Absolutely interesting that on that note, you know, I saw it on TV myself at home. It was frightening to watch.
I think we'd have to go back about a year. We were talking on varied aspects of the government and where it was going and so forth. In the middle of it all, first person I heard mentioning, a politician anyway from Ireland, the gathering and what was going to happen in 2013 was none other than yourself. And says I to myself, it's a great idea, but I don't know how that one is going to develop. Again, back to you, John Perry, the gathering, the significance of that for Ireland, and wouldn't we have to say, how is it going?
Well, it's going exceptionally well. I think that when you look at the whole promotion of Ireland and the emphasis on the gathering worldwide at the moment, the marketing of it has been very effective. They have put in a very effective, the technology potential at the moment. Even here in New York, I know that they will be heavy with the John DeLevy and the Parade Committee. You know, John does an outstanding job, I think, for Ireland for the last number of years. The chair of the St. Patrick's Day, the biggest parade in the world. But equally, I know that the gathering will have an involvement in that and the promotion of which is very important. But that's just giving you one example of how successful it was. The whole people bought into the gathering very effectively, which I think is the gathering was an idea The ownership has been taken by the people in every community, in every village, in every region, right across the...
Point well made.
Yeah, and that's the empowerment.
Right.
I think that people now are, what they know, they're contacting their distant relations, their cousins, they're doing, community are doing joint linkages, the whole, if you take the whole Ireland as a golfing destination, the whole extraordinary hotels in Ireland, value for money.
Sure.
I think that it's amazing the whole branding of Ireland, getting people in. Certainly not, and just if you take, was at the American football game, or the American football game, which was in Notre Dame, and that event in Dublin, these 45,000 people from the US came into that event. And they were, and they stayed all over Ireland for the 10 days.
And stayed, and spread out, yeah.
And spent a huge amount of money. But equally, when you look at the 50 million Irish people who claim that, you know, you take the genealogy, the whole connection of Ireland, and it's a huge business now. People are the fact of getting the whole their family trees and the roots and the connections. And if you take the third generation, fourth generation Irish American. I think there's this huge sense of loyalty to Ireland.
Right.
And I think that has been, and particularly even currently, we have a lot of, it was in the recent number of years, people, you know, all over the US, people would have, by choice or maybe by necessity, had to immigrate. But equally, all of those, if you take the Irish, these successes here in New York alone, all of the Irish business people who have very influential people who have a huge level of influences in the, I suppose, every top boardroom across New York. It's they certainly have, the call of Ireland has been very effective, and I think clearly they're all rising to the challenge. I think the Irish people, when they are challenged, they will respond effectively. And that really has been the lesson of the last couple of years, is that the government, I suppose, that we have, and the people of Ireland, while it's challenging, but they have raised the challenge that they want to make this country, once again, as the teacher said, in the years to come, an economy which we can be proud of.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, Nathan, I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for this great opportunity. I'm really privileged to get to come into your studio. Thank you, Adrian.
Member of the DáIL, Friends of the Government of Ireland, John Parry, Minister of State for Small Business, Department of Jobs, Enterprise, Innovation, and indeed represents and well represents the west of Ireland, northwest of Ireland, in Sligo and North Leitrim. Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.